ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। We are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 13, titled Dhritarashtra Quits Home. Text number 12. Ityukto dharmarajena sarvam tasmavarnayat yathanubhutam kramasho vinayadukulakshayam iti thus uktaha, being asked, dharmarajena, by King Yudhishthira, sarvam, all, tat, that, samavarnayat, properly described, yatha anubhutam, as he experienced, kramashaha, one after another, vina, without, yatukulakshayam, annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. Translation: thus being questioned by Maharaj Yudhishthira, Mahatma Vidur gradually described everything he had personally experienced, except news of annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. So this is my purport to this verse, and text 13, the purport is very short, so I'll read a couple of more verses along with their purports.
Nanu priyam durvishaham nirnam swayam upastitam navedayat sakaruno dukhitan drashtumakshamaha.
Translation: compassionate Mahatma Vidura could not stand to see Pandavas distressed at any time. Therefore, he did not disclose his unpalatable and unbearable incident because calamities come of their own accord. Purport: according to Niti Shastra's civic laws, one should not speak an unpalatable truth to cause distress to others. Distress comes upon in its own way by the laws of nature. So one should not aggravate it by propaganda. For a compassionate soul like Vidura, especially in his dealing with beloved Pandavas, it was almost impossible to disclose an unpalatable piece of news like the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. Therefore, he purposely refrained from it. I'll read the next one also.
Kanchit kalam athavasit sadkrito devavat sukham Bhratur Jeshtasya Shreyaskrit Sarvesham Sukhamavahan.
Thus Mahatma Vidura, being treated by just like a godly person by his kinsmen, remained there for a certain period just to rectify the mentality of his eldest brother and in this way bring happiness to all others. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Saintly persons like Vidura must be treated as well as a denizen from heaven. In those days, denizens of heavenly planets used to visit home like that of Maharaj Yudhishthira, and sometimes persons like Arjun and others used to visit higher planets. Narada is a spaceman who can travel unrestrictedly, not only within the material universes, but also in the spiritual universes. Even Narada used to visit the palace of Maharaj Yudhishthira, and what to speak of other celestial demigods. It is only the spiritual culture of the people concerned that makes the interplanetary travel possible, even in the present body. Maharaj Yudhishthira, therefore, received Vitara in the manner of reception offered to the demigods. Mahatma Vitara had already adopted the renounced order of life, and therefore he did not return to his parental palace to enjoy some material comforts. He accepted out of his own mercy what was offered to him by Maharaj Yudhishthira. But the purpose of living in the palace was to deliver his elder brother Dhritarashtra, who was too much materially attached. Dhritarashtra lost all his state and descendants in the fight with Maharaj Yudhishthira, but still, due to his sense of helplessness, he did not feel ashamed to accept the charity and hospitality of Maharaj Yudhishthira. On the part of Maharaj Yudhishthira, it was quite in order to maintain his uncle in a befitting manner, but acceptance of such magnanimous hospitality by Dhritarashtra was not at all desirable. He accepted it because he thought that there was no alternative. Vidura particularly came to enlighten Dhritarashtra and to give him a lift to the higher status of spiritual cognition. It is the duty of enlightened souls to deliver the fallen ones, and Vidura came for that reason. But talks of spiritual enlightenment are so refreshing that while instructing Dhritarashtra, Vidura attracted the attention of all the members of the family, and all of them took pleasure in hearing him patiently. This is the way of spiritual realization. The message should be heard attentively, and if spoken by a realized soul, it will act on the dormant heart of the conditioned soul. And by continuously hearing, one can attain the perfect stage of self-realization.
Om Ajnanatimrandhasya Jnanarjana Shalakhaya Chakshu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Padagamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanitamscha हे कृष्णा करुणा सिंधो दीनबंधो जगतपते गोपेश गोपिका कांत राधा कांत नमोस्तुते तप्त कांचन गौरांगी राधे वृंदावनेश्वरी वृषभानुसुते देवी प्रणमामि हरिप्रिये वांशकल्पतरूभ्यश्च कृपा सिंधुभ्येव च पतितानां पावनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्णा 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा वर्स 12 Thus being questioned by Maharaj Yudhishthira, Mahatma Vidura gradually described everything he had personally experienced, except news of the annihilation of the Yadu dynasty. So, here we can see... Krishna's pastimes are classified into different sections according to his age and according to the place of the pastime which was enacted. So Krishna's childhood pastimes are known as Balya Leela or Kaumara Leela. Then after that Krishna's pastimes, mainly with his playmates, with the gopas, that is known as Pauganda, Pauganda Leela. Krishna has various Pauganda Leela. And then Krishna further grows and Krishna becomes a Kishore. So then it is called Kaishora Leela. And from Kaishora, Krishna just reaches Yavana, beginning of Yavana. It is known as Nava Yavanam Cha. What is the meaning of Nava Yavanam? He is freshly youthful all the time. Everyone would like to be freshly youthful, but it doesn't happen in this world. But Krishna, he is always ever fresh. And he remains eternally youth. So here we can interestingly understand that Krishna's eternal form is apparently changing, but Krishna Swaru is always, all these forms that he manifests are all his Swaru, means all are his original form. So these are original form of the Supreme Lord. And his form as Yavanam, the ever youthful form, that remains throughout. So from the end of, when we discuss the place of happenings of Krishna's pastimes, that starts from primarily Krishna's childhood pastime happened in Braj, in Vrindavan. And from there he went to Mathura. And from there to Dwaraka. So in terms of place, primarily Krishna's pastimes can be classified into these three: Vrajalila, Mathura Leela and Dwaraka Leela. And at the end of Dwaraka Leela, Krishna disappears from this planet, along with his all associates. So interesting enough, Krishna dispatches all his relatives first. The entire Yadu dynasty, they go back to the spiritual world. And that is the whole pastime of disappearance of Krishna. It's known as Maushala Leela. And it is considered very sad for the devotees to hear the disappearance pastimes of Krishna, even though it is factual. But disappearance, that separation from the Lord, is very intense, and the devotees don't want to be burnt in the fire of separation. So generally devotees don't want to hear these pastimes. However, in Srimad Bhagavatam, very elaborate description is given about Maushala Leela in the 11th canto. So there was a war among the Yadavas. So this war, it looked like just like any normal fight amongst the members of the same family. So there was this Leela in which Narada Muni was involved, and they got cursed that they would fight. So they had a piece of iron, and you know, the whole pastime is that the end is that they were actually plucking the grass, and it was turning into weapon, and they were fighting amongst each other. And they drank a kind of a beverage which was similar to alcohol. It was not exactly intoxicant like this, but it was of the similar nature, and it was made of rice, in fact. And the whole war broke out among themselves. And then they died. And they actually went to the spiritual world. So it is mentioned very clearly that Krishna wanted to send all his relatives to the spiritual world, and it was impossible for them to be killed by anyone else in this planet. The reason is they were the strongest people. They were the most powerful people. They were the most opulent people. So no one can actually destroy them. And Krishna was looking for a means to send them to their spiritual abode, to their respective abodes. So for that sake, Krishna enacted this pastime. So it has nothing to do with any of the material fights or the apparent results of those kinds of fights. So this was completely on the spiritual platform, and Krishna sent this. And after that, this pastime happened, how Krishna departed from this world. So we can see that was towards the end of Uddhava Gita. That is instruction of Krishna to Uddhava. So Krishna gave two most important instructions in this world when he was present. Most important. One is the famous Bhagavad Gita. Krishna instructed that to Arjuna. And the most important second one is Uddhava Gita. Because Uddhava Gita is also very elaborate. And Uddhava Gita glorifies devotion service, pure devotion unto Krishna. And also Krishna speaks about the duties of Varnashram. Krishna talks about Gyan also. Krishna speaks about mystic siddhis. So Krishna gives a wide variety of understanding. And at the end, Uddhava Gita concludes that devotional service, bhakti unto Krishna, is the topmost, and one has to be engaged in devotional service. And at the end of Uddhava Gita, Uddhava could understand in that conversation, Uddhava reveals his heart. He understands that the Lord is going to depart from this world. Because there was very intimate relationship between Uddhava and Krishna. Uddhava was the Mantri Raj. He was the minister who advises Krishna in his different affairs. As Uddhava himself points out in the 11th canto, "O Lord, actually there was no need for me to advise you because you are the all-knowing Supreme Personality of Godhead. You are Abhigya, you are Sarat. However, if you want me to advise you, I will do that." So this was the position of Uddhava. And who was the guru of Uddhava? Uddhava was the direct disciple of Brihaspati. So Uddhava is very learned. He is an eternal associate of Krishna. And Krishna wanted two things to be achieved through Uddhava. One was, even though Uddhava was the associate of Krishna, he had learned everything from Brihaspati, but he hadn't learned one thing. And Krishna wanted to make it very clear that Uddhava had to learn that. And that was the topmost aspect of devotional service. And for that sake, Krishna sent Uddhava to Vrindavan. Just as a messenger. Just as to give a sandesh. It is Uddhava sandesh to the eternal residents of Vrindavan who are intimate to Krishna. So when Uddhava reached there, he could actually learn what is the bhakti of residents of Vrindavan, what is the bhakti of Nanda Maharaj, what is the bhakti of Mother Yashoda, what is the bhakti of damsels of Vrindavan. So Uddhava tried to speak some philosophy to Nanda Maharaj. He said to Nanda Maharaj, "Actually, you don't actually worry about Krishna." He spoke, tried to speak the same philosophy to other damsels of Vrindavan also. That is, you don't worry about Krishna so much. Actually, you don't have any separation from Krishna. Because Krishna is all pervading. He is present everywhere. So Nanda Maharaj thought, yes, he is a young devotee, who Uddhava. He knows some philosophy. But our problem is, we can't forget Krishna. It's not possible to forget Krishna. It was the same mood the gopis of Vrindavan had, the same mood. We can't forget Krishna. It's impossible for us to forget Krishna. We want to forget Krishna, but it is impossible. So this was the kind of pastime that was taking place. So that was the one message that Krishna wanted to give to Uddhava. That is to glorify the devotion of the residents of Vrindavan. Second was that he wanted Uddhava to go to Bhadrikashram and impart knowledge about pure devotion service. The knowledge that was left behind by Krishna to sages of Bhadrikashram. So Uddhava was sent and Uddhava started crying. He paid obeisances. He caught hold of Krishna's lotus feet and cried and said, "I can't bear your separation. I can't bear your separation. But Krishna instructed you have to go." So as an obedient servant, even though it was very painful, Uddhava left. Then we can see there is a wonderful conversation between Satyaki and Krishna. Even Satyaki, who was the chariot driver of Krishna, even Satyaki didn't want to leave away from Krishna. And at that point, Maitreya was also present. As it's given here, Vidura becomes the disciple of Maitreya. So this is the whole pastime in the Maushala Leela, where how Krishna departed from this world. Then we know at that point, Jara shot an arrow and thinking Krishna to be a bird. So seeing the blue color of Krishna, and this arrow shot the feet of Krishna, and Krishna actually decided to leave this world. So there was no reason by just one arrow could actually kill Krishna. It is impossible, but for the sake of pastime, Krishna left this planet. So this is the import of the Maushala Leela, where Krishna left this planet. Now, Maitreya was present during this conversation and towards the very end of Krishna. And from Maitreya, Vidura was well aware of the situation, what happened to Krishna. Still, he never wanted to disclose these facts to the Pandavas, Yudhishthira Maharaj and other Pandavas, because he knew the pain that would give to these eternal associates of Krishna would be so much. So he didn't want to put them in such a position. He didn't want them to lament. So to avoid that, Vidura just avoided this conversation. So that is mentioned here, Vina Yadukulakshayam. He told everything Vina except Yadukulakshayam. That is, except the departure of the whole Yadu dynasty, which includes the departure of Krishna. Now, here it is quoted from Niti Shastra that one should not speak unpalatable truth to cause distress to others. Distress comes upon us in its own way by the laws of nature. So here, very important philosophical point. Here, two things we have to see. One, it is mentioned that according to Niti Shastra, one shouldn't tell any unpalatable truth that would cause distress. Okay. And the reason given is very interesting. That is a philosophical point. That is, if happiness can come by its own accord, similarly, the distress would also come by its own accord. So, no need to endeavor for happiness nor for distress. So, there is no need to aggravate the distress by telling some unpalatable truth. So, that was the point here mentioned, and that was the path followed by Vidura in this context. Now, we might think, when we preach, can we say unpalatable truth? We could think, you know, if we tell some truth, it's going to distress some people. Especially if somebody is in gross ignorance, generally we were in that position, and most of the people outside, they are all in ignorant stage. And if we shake them, we actually shake them by saying the truth of life. It is unpalatable, and to some level that would cause distress. But we definitely tell those truths. We tell about disease, we tell about old age, about death, about birth. And we make sure when we speak about birth that they clearly understand that it is an uncomfortable, unpalatable and most distressful situation. We give all examples how life in the womb is such a terrible situation and give all the examples. So just to show that, okay, it is not at all pleasant. And same with Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam is about bhakti. As we know, it's not just bhakti. It is completely, it's about pure devotional service. It's Amal Puran. So the primary content of Srimad Bhagavatam is pure devotion. However, Srimad Bhagavatam also presents unpalatable things for your information. It's not just beautiful pastimes of Krishna. But if you pick even the same section in the 11th canto, there is a whole section of Gyan which is actually shaking people. The whole purpose of Gyan is to shake people up. Why to shake people? Because we are materially grounded. So to shake our ground in which we are standing, Krishna himself speaks Gyan. Talks about the unpalatable nature of the material world. So, we are so attached to the material world, and when we preach to others, then also we can see how people are attached to the material world. So, to shake them from that position, the Gyan is presented. So, even though it is mentioned that, okay, according to Niti Shastra, one should not speak unpalatable truth, but when it comes to preaching, we don't actually follow this Niti Shastra. We work on a higher ground, because that kind of distress, that is the beginning of something which is positive. So we don't restrain ourselves from presenting something which is unpalatable about the material nature, but we give something which is positive about Krishna consciousness, about the beauty of the Lord, pastimes of the Lord, how wonderful is practicing Krishna consciousness. So it's not just the negative but positive information also. So here, in this particular context, we also have to understand that for pure devotees like Maharaj Yudhishthira, as we can see in the further chapters in the same canto, that they would anyway figure out how Krishna departed this world and how the members of the Yadu dynasty, how they actually went back to their respective abodes. So even though Vidura didn't mention at this specific point and he didn't want to cause lamentation for them, one reason is he had some other mission at this point of time. That was to deliver his brother, that is Dhritarashtra, who was just attached to family life and he was just attached to the kingdom, the wealth and the hospitality which was provided by Maharaj Yudhishthira, who was Dharmaraj, who was ready to do anything for the sake of Dharma. So he kept his uncle in a most befitting way so that he would feel comfortable after the whole war and after the death of all his sons. Now, when we talk about Dhritarashtra, as you know, Dhritarashtra was spiritually and materially blind. So here, as given here, is a very perfect example of a person who is Grihavrata or Griha Medhi, who is simply attached to the family without any higher consciousness, without any higher knowledge about life. So often it is very difficult to shake them. It's very difficult to move them. And we will try to understand this example, Griha Medhi. Griha Medhi means, one is just, often the example is given in the olden days when they wanted to get oil from the a seed, you know, getting the oil, the whole, what do you call that? You know, the name of the what is it? Oil rake. It's a center, there is a wheel, and a rope is attached, and there one, the rope is attached to a bull, and bull would just walk around. So, and then as a result of that, the oil will come because of this. So this was the system. So, a person who is simply attached only to the family life, he is known as a kind of a bull like that. That is, he is so attached that he is going, he is covering a lot of distance, he is spending all his energy, but he is in the same position. He is not making any advancement at all. So practically speaking, Dhritarashtra was in that position. And here, Mahatma Vidura has come to give transcendental knowledge to Dhritarashtra. Now, I was thinking one example I had personally, you know, seeing one person speaking about transcendental knowledge, but it was not exactly like Vidura. It was very difficult to convince, or it was quite impossible to convince, especially this kind of knowledge, to a person who is completely attached to family. So, this was actually my own uncle. Oh, he won't listen to. So he was quite elderly, and I was in India, I went to his home, and I wanted to, you know, preach, because as a neophyte devotee, often if he sees someone, immediately I have to give, you know, some transcendental knowledge. Immediately I want to transform their consciousness straight away. So I went to his home, I spoke to him, and I wanted to preach to him. So he was so attached to music. Especially he's a flutist, he plays flute, and he was so attached. So because of too much of flute playing, a couple of his tooth also is broken. So that is the effect of flute. Krishna plays flute, that attracts everyone, and he's eternally enjoying that pastime. But when we try, in due course of time, there will be problems. Actually, it is said many of the flutists, they die out of problem in the lungs, breathing problem. It's a fact. When it continues for ages, so he has some problem with the tooth, and he told me, you know, because of too much flute, it was creating trouble. And interesting enough, he was so attached. So in family, they were watching this show, a yoga show. You know, you might have heard about Baba Ramdev, yeah. Many of you, Baba Ramdev, very, very famous yogi. He teaches physical yoga, he teaches you know, pranayama, this kind of things. And he, to some degree at least, he thinks that he is Narayan himself. Someone devotee was telling in a video show, someone told once somebody's back problem or some problem got cured, and he glorified that you are self-same Narayan. And our Baba, he actually became very happy. He smiled, nodding his head. So this is his position. So this show was going on. So, you know, this is like a football stadium. So you can imagine, you know, thousands and thousands upon people sitting, and everyone was doing this posture. And all the family was attentively watching because they wanted to practice. Everyone had, you know, neck problem or back problem or some problem everyone has. So everyone was watching, and my uncle was also watching. But uncle, suddenly he came to the conclusion. He told, this is what I told you, everyone. This is what I told you. So everyone asked him, what? So this thing is going. He said, can you hear that background music? That is actually flute. I already told that flute is the most important instrument. So even watching this, he was completely absorbed in one thing. So I thought, okay, how can I preach to him? So I thought one thing, okay, I should tackle him through music. So I got a couple of, you know, nice CDs, nice, you know, bhajans. I think Swarup Damodar Prabhu, or, you know, nice bhajans, you know, very beautiful songs. I said, you know, we have new beautiful songs, and Hare Krishna Mahamantra we chant in so beautiful tune, it's very good. You just listen to that. So I took the thing and, you know, I started playing. And he started listening, and he can only listen the background music. He cannot listen much foreground. He listened the tune and mantra, it doesn't stuck. And he started saying, that pitch is going little high, that pitch is going little low. And he took his flute and he started playing. So I was intending, okay, he would actually chant along, we can chant along, but that didn't happen. Immediately he started playing flute. So that attempt failed. Then finally I thought, at least some japa we will do. I took the bead, and later I told him, okay, we'll do some chanting, you know, it's good. I said, this is the mala, you start chanting now. At least one round, it is very simple, Maha Mantra, I explained. Then he said, look, if I don't want, he actually rejected, he said, I don't want to chant. If I chant, maybe I would become like you. And I have to, you know, I have to leave my wife. You know, he's already 70 years old. And he's telling, you know, I have to leave my wife. So this is called attachment. So when it is actually a pious life, still attached to the family, that is known as Griha Medhi life. It's a pious life. That is, it doesn't mean they are intoxicating. It doesn't mean they are eating meat. It doesn't mean they are engaging in any illicit activity or gambling. No, maybe they are following four regulative principles. Still, if one does not know the higher principles of life, still it is known as Griha Medhi life. So consider the standard of Griha Medhi life. So if you go out in the Kali Yuga, we cannot actually see Griha Medhi life, because Griha Medhi life is very high. We can only see demoniac life, asuric life, that we can see. But Griha Medhi life, it is difficult to see. So that was actually part of Vedic culture. And of course, higher than that is what devotees follow, that is Grihastha life, that is ashram, that is totally different. So even Griha Medhi life is not there in this world, because it is asuric, it's completely asuric. And here Dhritarashtra, he is completely attached to the family, and his name suggests what is Dhritarashtra means. Dhrita means Dhrita. Dhrita means fixed. You know, we can hear Dhritavrata, Dhritavrata, like that, Dhrita. And here Dhritarashtra. Rashtra means nation. So what is he fixed on? He is fixed on, he doesn't want to give up his nation. Somehow or other, he's still hanging on to his nation, his kingdom. Even though he has no position, all his sons are dead, still he is just clinging upon his nation. So that is the nature of Dhritarashtra. And here, Mahatma Vidura want to elevate him to a better consciousness, to a higher consciousness. And here, see the plight of Dhritarashtra. Because he is, one sense, he knows that he lost his kingdom. He knows how all his sons were murdered, that too by Pandavas. Now he was thinking, I have no other shelter. He was in a position of helplessness. So that is one reason why he had to accept the hospitality of Maharaj Yudhishthir. Maharaj Yudhishthir, he was Dharma personified, so he was willing to offer all the hospitality to his uncle, and at the same time, because of helplessness, Maharaj Yudhishthira, he was ready to, not Yudhishthira, Dhritarashtra was ready to accept those hospitalities. So this is a wrong understanding all of us would have to some degree or the other. That is, take to renunciation, who would actually support, who would actually protect? So here, Dhritarashtra will take to Vanaprastha, where the dependency on the Supreme Lord. If one is not Krishna conscious, he has to work very hard. There is no doubt. Even with a little bit of spiritual knowledge, one can avoid hard work, materially speaking. So if one is not Krishna conscious, he has to work very hard for so many things, because there is unlimited desires. You know, we can go to, you know, if you see people, they want to accumulate so many things. Big houses, 5, 6, 7, 8 bedrooms. And to maintain such kind of houses, they had to work so hard. When one actually has to do over endeavor, one's spiritual life is completely compromised. Atyahara prayasascha prajalpa niyamagraha. So atyahara prayasa. So that is the endeavor, over endeavor, that can completely vanquish one's spiritual life. So here, with some spiritual knowledge, ultimately Dhritarashtra could understand that he doesn't have to depend on Yudhishthira. He doesn't have to depend on anyone. Rather, he has to only depend on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Shukadeva Goswami, in the second canto, he makes a statement, because this canto is, we can see the conversation between Sudha Goswami and the sages of Naimisharanya. However, in the second canto, Shukadeva Goswami personally starts speaking. There, Shukadeva Goswami makes this point. He speaks on the platform of renunciation. He speaks on the platform of complete dependence on the Supreme Lord. He speaks that for a person who has taken shelter of the Lord, is there any point in which Krishna would not help such a devotee? Then he asks, especially speaking about himself, for staying, for a shelter, there is always caves in the mountain. He's asking whether these caves or the mountains are closed from now onwards. No, not at all. And he says, for eating there is lot of fruits, and for drinking there is lot of water from the rivers. So he's actually showing complete dependence on Krishna and the facilities which are provided by Krishna. So here, Dhritarashtra, when he actually leaves home, he actually shows dependence on higher realities of life. Even though, as we can see, he couldn't actually take shelter of Krishna as such. Vidura wanted him to be a devotee of the Lord, but unfortunately he couldn't actually become a devotee. Rather, he practiced mystic yoga, and he could achieve Brahman realization. He could achieve impersonal realization. However, he couldn't actually become a devotee, for which Vidura was not completely satisfied. So here, speaks about the spiritual realization, the nature of the spiritual realization. The talks of spiritual enlightenment are so refreshing that while instructing Dhritarashtra, Vidura attracted the attention of all the members of the family, and all of them took pleasure in hearing him patiently. So here we can see the conversation between Vidura and Dhritarashtra, which is quite harsh in one sense. Even though in the first ground it is mentioned that according to Niti Shastra, one should not speak unpalatable things. Still, what is Vidura going to do? He is going to speak something which is very unpalatable to Dhritarashtra, right? Dhritarashtra, it was not palatable to him. He told Dhritarashtra, you are just like a dog. You are just like a dog, just eating some remnants of the master. So Dhritarashtra, who was the king, who was on the royal throne, but now he had to hear that he was just like a dog. And for the preaching sake, Vidura pointed out the position of Dhritarashtra. And he asked, he actually raised him by pointing out about the Pandavas and especially Bhima, who killed his eldest son, Duryodhana. So we can see how the preaching works, and it actually created a deep impression in the heart of Dhritarashtra, and he was ready to renounce everything. He, along with his wife, they left the palace and without telling anyone. So this is the potency of the great sages like Vidura. He had such a strong impact in the heart of Dhritarashtra, who was a grihamedhi, who was completely attached to family life. And then they performed austerities and they performed mystic yoga, and they left to not exactly the spiritual world, but they got some spiritual abode in the form of maybe Brahman realization. Not an abode, but a state. Now, he also mentioned here the quality of spiritual narrations. It is relishing. It is very, very dear to the heart of the devotees. As Srimad Bhagavatam says, padam padam yat rujiram navam navam tadeva ramyam manaso mahotsavam. That is, this pastimes of the Lord, this transcendental knowledge about the Lord is rujiram. It is tasteful, padam padam, in each and every step. So when a devotee hears these pastimes, they develop an attraction for the Lord. And this attraction for the Lord increases as we progress in our devotional life. And ultimately, that purifies us and it perfects our life. So this is the nature of transcendental narration of the Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna actually tells this point to Krishna. He says, Sthane Hrishi Kesha Tava Prakritya Jagat Prahashyati Anurajyate Cha. He says in the 11th chapter of Bhagavad Gita that Krishna, Hrishikesh, your glories, when you speak about your glories and when you chant your holy names, two things happen. One is, one develops happiness within. Second, one becomes attracted to Krishna. So these are the two effects of chanting of Hare Krishna Mahamantra. As we can read in Bhagavad Gita, where Arjuna himself says, that is, this principle is very well applicable in the context of preaching also. That is, when we preach, naturally when we chant Hare Krishna, people get attracted to. When we have Harinam, naturally some people get attracted. Three kinds of chanting are there. One is called Manopirama. That is, simply it has the potency to attract people. They may not have any background as such in chanting, but they think, okay, this is very nice. So that is one kind of chanting. That is, it is not offensive because they don't know anything about the holy name. And it is kind of Nama Bhas. So when we go and chant, we are glorifying Krishna. So in the street, people get attracted to, they join us, they start chanting, they dance us. So this is because the potency of the holy name of attraction. And when that affects, and when that is chanted and heard for a prolonged period, then naturally one gets purified. So here in this pastime, all the Pandavas, they are already on the perfect stage of devotional life. They are already pure devotees. So when they hear this pastimes of the Lord, we hear particular instructions of Vidura, they became completely attracted and they became completely jubilant. Because Vidura not just spoke just to enlighten Dhritarashtra, he also spoke about his experience of his travel. He also spoke about his experiences with Uddhava, and he shared many other spiritual topics. And then, specifically to Dhritarashtra, he spoke this harsh words for the sake of preaching, which was for his ultimate good. And all the other members of the family, when they heard, they actually became transcendentally jubilant. So Srila Prabhupada makes it this point very emphatic again in this purport, because the same point we heard in a couple of purports before, that was The message should be heard attentively, and if spoken by a realized soul, it will act on the dormant heart of the conditioned soul. So, message should be heard attentively. This is a very difficult situation we are in, because when we hear, we tend to sleep. The attention goes everywhere. Especially, I used to think, when we actually speak Bhagavatam, it's very easy to see how either whether anyone is sleeping, or if one is attentive, or when it's going everywhere. It is very visible when we actually sit here and actually start speaking. How the mind works, it becomes very obvious. It's a fact. And when we sit there, when we become in the position of audience, you know, the mind actually naturally wander, you know, we sleep and we hear everything, you know, so many things happen. But when we try to speak, then it's naturally we see everything, what's going on in this room, unless one is hiding, otherwise it becomes very obvious. So, this attentive listening is very important. Because the consciousness which is actually going into the sound vibration, that produces the spiritual effect. So if one is more conscious, or in other words, when one is more attentive in listening, then more the effect. So to get the complete benefit, we have to have this complete attention. We had to try our best in listening the past times of the Lord, in try our best.